Test 1, 2, 2.
Will the chief clerk please call the roll?
Anderson.
Here.
Bagby.
Here.
Barbuto.
Here.
Berger.
Here.
Blake.
Here.
Bonner.
Here.
Brechtel.
Here.
Brown.
Here.
Buchanan.
Here.
Bird.
Here.
Kennedy.
Here.
Carson.
Here.
Childers.
Here.
Cohey.
Here.
Connolly.
Here.
Kraft.
Here.
Davison.
Here.
Dirks. Edmonds,
here.
Esquivel,
here.
Gilmore,
here.
Gingery,
here.
Goggles,
here.
Hales,
here.
Hallinan,
here.
Hammonds,
here.
Harshman, Harshman, Harvey,
here.
Illaway,
here.
Yagi,
here.
Jorgensen,
here.
Landon,
here.
Lockhart,
here.
Lubno,
here.
Madden,
here.
McKim,
here.
McComey,
here.
Mercer,
here.
Meyer,
here.
Miller, Millen, Millen,
here.
Moniz,
here.
Patton,
here.
Peasley,
here.
Pedersen,
here.
Peterson,
here.
Philp,
here.
Korberg,
here.
Roscoe, Roscoe, Semlek,
here.
Shepperson,
here.
Steward,
here.
Stubson,
here.
Teeters,
here.
Thompson,
here.
Throne,
here.
Wallace,
Zwanitzer
Dan.
Here.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Here.
Mr. Speaker.
Here.
Harshman.
Here.
Roscoe.
Here.
60 present.
The prayer today is given by Robert Schmidt, representing St. Paul's Lutheran Church. Pastor Schmidt.
Let us pray. Redeemer and Creator, we thank you for this place that we call Wyoming. We pray that you use us to support the land and support its people. We pray that you send your Spirit to be with this legislature as they make decisions to fulfill your will. We ask that you keep them safe from all harm and all danger, that all may be done for your purpose, to preserve this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Be with all those who need your help in any way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Yes, have a good one. Thank you, Pastor Schmidt. Nice to see you. Good, thank you.
See you tomorrow.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, the doctor of the day is Dr. David Gajda. And Dr. Gajda, I screwed it up right off the bat.
Right.
Dr. Gajda, thank you for being here today as our doctor of the day. Journal Committee Report.
Mr. Speaker, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of January 30th, 2009 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Signed, Representative Barbuto, Representative Moniz.
Messages from the Senate. There are no messages from the Senate. Members of the House, it is my pleasure to be joined on the floor this morning by special guests from the Wyoming affiliate of the Susan G. Komen for the Cure organization. They're not here yet. It will be my pleasure as soon as they get here, so we'll wait on that. And why don't we go ahead and do introduction, reading, and reference of bills. No, I've got one. Go ahead. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 293.
House Bill 293, introduced by Representative Byrd.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to criminal procedure regarding time limits for bail.
House Bill 293 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 297.
House Bill 297, introduced by Representative Lubno.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to crimes and offenses, single assault.
House Bill 297 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 296.
House Bill 296, introduced by Representative Dirks.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to administration of the government, Department of Audit, Ombudsman.
House Bill 296 is referred to Committee Number 4, Education. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 305.
House Bill 305, introduced by Representative Lubno.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to fire safety and prevention.
House Bill 305 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 292.
House Bill 292, introduced by Representative Pedersen.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to property insurance, mortgage insurance.
House Bill 292 is referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 306.
House Bill 306, introduced by Representative Carson.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to wind energy.
House Bill 306 is referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 308.
House Bill 308, introduced by Representative Dan Zwanitzer.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to a state medical examiner.
House Bill 308 is referred to Committee Number 10, Labor. We're at that order of business of Senate files on first reading. The first Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 72.
Senate File 72, introduced by the Corporation Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to corporations.
Senate File 72 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. Reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, your committee, number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom was referred House Bill 120, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Bonner, Davison, Hallinan, Harvey, Millen. No, Escobel, Goggles, Landon. Excused, Shepperson. Signed, Representative Landon, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom was referred House Bill 128, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Bonner, Davison, Escobel, Goggles, Landon, Millen, Shepperson. No, Hallinan, Harvey. Signed, Representative Landon, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom was referred House Bill 177, respectfully reports same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Bonner, Davison, Escobel, Goggles, Hallinan, Harvey, Landon, Millen, Shepperson. Signed, Representative Landon, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom is referred House Bill 271, respectfully reports same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Bonner, Davison, Escobel, Goggles, Hallinan, Harvey, Landon, Millen, Shepperson. Signed, Representative Landon, Chairman.
The House will be at ease for a few minutes. Thank you. Chairman Childers, would you come up here, please? Representative Stubson, would you like privilege of the floor?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like privilege of the floor. I would just like to introduce the body for to our page for today, Finnegan Stubson, who's up front.
Stand up, Finnegan. There you go. Welcome, Finnegan Stubson, to the House. It's great to have you here today. And you look much better than your father this morning. Members of the House, it is a pleasure to be joined on the floor today, this morning by special guests from the Wyoming affiliate of the Susan G. Komen for the Cure organization. Today is Pink Ribbon Day, a special day where we celebrate breast cancer survivors and honor those who have lost their battle with the disease. It is also a day when we recognize the activists of the Komen Wyoming affiliate and their individual contributions to the breast cancer movement. Please join me now in welcoming First Lady Nancy Friedenthal, Susan Thomas, former Senator Jane Mockler, and Representative Tom Lockhart, who is the honorary race chairman along with his wife Lynn, who is not able to be with us today,
Stacy Caesar, president of the Wyoming affiliate, Kelly Miner, Race for the Cure chair, and several volunteers of the affiliate in the gallery. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker, members of the Wyoming House of Representatives. It's a pleasure to be here with you today to talk about a most sobering subject. In 2009, it is estimated that one woman will be diagnosed with breast cancer every 3 minutes, and a woman will die every 13 minutes. This alarming statistic is why we're here talking with you today. The Wyoming affiliate for the Susan G. Komen for the Cure, along with those of you who so generously have supported us with money, with talent, and with time, is working to better the lives of those facing breast cancer in our Wyoming communities. We join more than 100,000 people worldwide, those with who are breast cancer survivors and those advocates for breast cancer awareness. This is the world's largest and most progressive grassroots network fighting breast cancer. Through events like the Komen Race for the Cure, we've invested over $1.5 million in our Wyoming communities to date. Those monies have gone to local breast health and breast cancer awareness projects all across the state. As so many of you know, over 75% of the net proceeds raised by the Komen Wyoming affiliate stay here in Wyoming. The remaining goes to the National Susan G. Komen for the Cure Grants Program to energize science to find the cures. At Susan G. Komen for the Cure, it is our promise to save lives and end breast cancer forever by empowering people, by ensuring quality care for all, and by energizing science to find the cures. We know that ending breast cancer is about more than just medical treatment. It's about overcoming the social, cultural, and financial conditions that prevent women from receiving life-saving breast health care and treatment. Thank you so much for all that you do in support of the Wyoming affiliate, Susan G. Komen for the Cure. It's my privilege and pleasure now to introduce Susan Thomas to follow me.
Pages are getting younger, aren't they? I was a page once, but I was not your size. Well, I want to thank you, Mr. Speaker, and Wyoming's finest. It's an honor to be here today. I will be brief because I know you have much work to do. Now, I'm a teacher, so I'm going to ask you 3 questions. You're going to have to follow a little bit of direction. If you answer yes to any of these questions, please raise your hand and keep it up. Okay? First question. Has anybody in your family or any of your relatives been diagnosed with breast cancer? Yes? Second question. Do you know of any friends or anyone in your neighborhood who has been diagnosed with breast cancer? And last question, think of your workplace, think of your community, and think of your church. Do you know of anybody in those 3 places? Yes. If you would keep your hands up for just a few seconds and look around you. And while you're looking around, all of you represent the state of Wyoming. I rest my case, because one hand raised I believe, is one hand too many. You can see that Wyoming citizens and all of us have much work left to do in order to help eradicate breast cancer as a life-threatening disease. I thank you for listening to me today, and I would like to thank each of you for the great work you are doing so that Wyoming can become a better place in which to live. God bless you, and God bless America. Thank you.
It's always hard to follow a teacher and one who taught us a lot about the Susan B. Komen program. I happened to be with her the day we initiated the idea of this, and she's been with us the whole time. And, of course, it's always nice to hear the governor kind of run us through the history currently of what's going on here and the important things that we do. The Susan B. Komen For the Cure, I guess they don't put race in it all the time, but For the Cure in the last 25 years has had an impact on everything that's gone on. And in the more recent years, in the Wyoming legislature, former Representative Mockler and myself have been chairs from the Senate and the House, and every year we've increased our contributions to it and the participation as team members from both the Senate and the House, and we'll be asking for you to do that again with all of your help. And I see a lot of pink out there, and I hope to see more as we go forward. I think we can make a difference. And there is a component of this that has to do with fundraising. And on your desk, I think you've got a pledge form, and I'm here to tell you I've already gotten one check in, and it's not mine, and it's much appreciated from the good chairman from Fremont County. Keep it coming. We're going to take it over the top this year. Thanks, everybody, for their participation. One other thing, those of you who can make it down on August 8th for that event, it'll touch you like nothing else in the world. You see a lot of the survivors there, and you can have some fun with the race. So thanks for your support.
Thank you, Nancy and Susan and Tom and Stacy and Kelly, for all of your hard work, and you, Lynn, Jane. Excuse me, Jane. But thank you very much. Your hard work does not go unnoticed, and you do make a big difference, and we appreciate it very much, and we'll stand behind you and help as much as we can. Thanks for being here today, and we are happy to celebrate Pink Ribbon Day with you. Thank you. We're at that order of business of bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 33.
House Bill 33, introduced by Representative Hammonds, an act relating to public education, expanded opportunity pilot program.
House Bill 33, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 38.
House Bill 38, introduced by the Representative Cohey and the Local Government, an act relating to governmental entities, fiscal year for governmental entities.
Chairman Illaway.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 38 and ask for your favorable consideration. This amendment takes out on page 10, the bottom of page 10, 33.5.116, and it talks about the state bar. and it goes over to page 11. The State Bar is really not a licensing board under the executive branch. It's a very small entity, funded 100% by the members. None of the money that is paid to the State Bar runs through the state. It's not like any of the other 30 licensing boards. It's self-governed. They do all their accounting. And to be an attorney, you must be a member of the State Bar. So it really does not fit in this particular piece of legislation. And I ask for your favorable consideration on amendment number one.
Representative Stubson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just to sort of reiterate what the good chairman from Laramie County had said, this is sort of an apples and oranges thing. I know this same amendment went down in rousing defeat in Committee of the Whole, but the thing is that the State Bar Organization is not under the executive's purview or authority. It is under the Wyoming Supreme Court's authority and answers to them and is subject to their governance. And as you look through the bill, you're not talking about court entities. In this bill, you're talking about executive agencies and executive entities. And so it does, including them in this bill, sort of throws in a different species altogether. And it just makes sense. They are under another branch of government. They answer to that branch of government, they should not be sort of lumped in with these other executive agencies. So I would just ask your support for the amendment.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time? We are voting on second reading amendment number one to House Bill 38. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. Second reading amendment number one to House Bill 38 is passed. House Bill 38 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for consideration is House Bill 72.
House Bill 72, introduced by Representative Berger, an act relating to county jails, release of information.
House Bill 72 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 115.
House Bill 115, introduced by Representative Mercer, an act relating to driving while under the influence.
House Bill 115 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 156.
House Bill 156, introduced by Representative Brechtel, an act relating to economic development, energy performance contracting.
House Bill 156 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 160.
House Bill 160, introduced by Representative Landon, an act relating to the legislature constituent service allowance.
House Bill 160 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 195.
House Bill 195, introduced by Representative Brown, an act relating to the Real Estate License Act of 1971.
Is Representative Brown walking to the podium?
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I was just checking on our logistics, and I would ask the chair to divide this amendment. Division one would be lines one and two. First of all, I move second reading amendment number one to House Bill 195 and ask the chair to divide the amendment. Division one would be lines one and two. Division two would be lines three and four.
Could you please explain the division?
The division, Mr. Chairman, comes about because we still need the amendment on page one of the bill. On page five of the bill, where the amendment tries to make a change, that change was already made in the standing committee amendment.
Would you like to withdraw division two of second reading amendment number one to House Bill 195?
I thought you'd never ask. I would.
Thank you. It is withdrawn. We're on division one. Representative Brown.
I would ask your favorable consideration. All this does is make the same change in the enabling language that has already been, or in the descriptive language that's already been made by standing amendment number one in the body of the bill.
Anyone else for their first time on Division 1? Question being called on Division 1 of Second Reading Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 195, which is the entire Second Reading Amendment Number 1. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. Second Reading Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 195 is passed. House Bill 195, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for consideration is House Bill 225.
House Bill 225, introduced by Representative Harshman, an act relating to game and fish regarding bighorn sheep, ewe, and lamb licenses.
House Bill 225, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 241.
House Bill 241, introduced by Representative Berger, an act relating to the Wyoming Retirement System, Criminal Background Checks Retirement System.
Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number one to House Bill 241. And ladies and gentlemen, what this proposed amendment does is to change the effective date to immediately for background checks for the retirement center system, and I ask for your favorable aye.
Anyone else for their first time? Question being called on second reading amendment number one to House Bill 241. All those in favor, please say aye. All those opposed, no. Second reading amendment number one to House Bill 241 has passed. House Bill 241, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 243.
House Bill 243, introduced by Representative Cohey, an act relating to district attorneys and their salaries.
House Bill 243, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 251.
House Bill 251, introduced by Representative Gingrey, an act relating to trusts, retirement funds, accounting.
House Bill 251, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. We are at that order of business of bills on third reading and final passage. Representatives want it, sir. Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Pursuant to Rule 9-3C, I would ask that House Bill 31 be laid back one day.
Hearing no objection, it is so ordered that House Bill 31 is laid back for third reading until Tuesday, February 3rd, 2009. I'm sorry, it's too late. We've already announced it. The next and only bill for our consideration is House Joint Resolution 9.
House Joint Resolution Number 9, introduced by Representative Simpson, a joint resolution to encourage county officials to take a proactive approach to burgeoning wind energy resource development, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
House Joint Resolution 9, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel, Brown, Buchanan, Byrd, Kennedy, Carson, Childers, Cohey, Connolly, Kraft, Davison, Dirks, Edmonds, Esquivel, Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles, Hales, Hallinan, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Illaway, Yagi, Jorgensen, Landon, Lockhart, Lubno, Madden, McKim, McComey, Mercer, Meyer, Miller, Millen, Moniz, Patton.
Aye.
Peasley.
Aye.
Patterson.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Philp.
Aye.
Korberg.
Aye.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Semlich.
Aye.
Shepperson.
Aye.
Stewart.
No.
Stubson.
No.
Teeters.
No.
Thompson.
Aye.
Throne.
No.
Wallace.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
No.
Swanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 53 ayes, 7 noes.
House Joint Resolution 9, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Joint Resolution 9 has passed the House. We are at that order of business of consideration of bills on general file. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that the House resolve itself into Committee of the Whole.
You have heard the motion. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. We are resolved into Committee of the Whole. Representative Pedersen. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. At the other chairman's request, we're going to move House Bill 6 down below House Bill 180.
First bill for our consideration. Sorry. The Committee of the Whole will please come to order. The first bill for our consideration will be House Bill 39. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 39, introduced by the local government COHI, an act relating to the administration of government, population determination, and the use of federal sentences.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Nillaway?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, you do so with the recommendation that House Bill 39 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment. I think we'll just let the good chairman from House District 35 discuss the bill, and then we can vote on the Standing Committee Amendment as we kind of get to it. So,
Representative Cohey.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. As previously mentioned to the body, with regard to the Select Committee on Local Government Finance, the questions that were asked a couple of years ago of the legislature with regard to how local governments operate and et cetera, that much of the conversation ensued about specific things with respect to how local governments operate, and it was found that in Wyoming statute, we find 37 separate references, statutory references, to either the word census or population. Since the differing interpretations and methodologies create some problems every time we come to the floor with a suggestion that, particularly with regard to funding or how populations are determined in the state of Wyoming with our counties or our cities and towns relative to the state's population in total, it was kind of determined that the wisdom of the committee kind of determined that it might be best that we refer to one term with regard to the words census and population. Since, for the most part, in Wyoming statutory consideration, the terms refer to the most recent decennial federal census, there are a few places that use that, and actually most, but the Things that we see differently in Wyoming statute include words like the next preceding federal census, the latest census estimate of the Department of A&I, Division of Economic Analysis to the latest updated census. There's a reference that indicates the latest federal census as periodically updated by the Bureau of the Census. We see a reference census to be conducted per statute, and a few others just to create a lot of confusion. To the point that when we come to the legislature with proposals and opportunities about, particularly with respect to funding to our cities, towns, and counties, that we really are not exactly sure which methodology to use. What this bill does is brings the discussion of the terminology census and population to one point, that being the most recent federal decennial census, which currently would be the year 2000, whatever that census figure was at the time, for the purposes of relating and ratio terms and determining what census is from one county or city and town compared to another county or city and town. I will now discuss the amendment. If you look at the amendment, if I can find it. In our current funding models that, you know, we use often, as I had mentioned, the recent federal decennial census, what the amendment does, the Part A, under Section 3, Part A, says that if this bill passes, it could be possible that, you know, with reference back to the most recent federal decennial census, that some of the liquor licenses that we have allowed in certain towns and counties, that somebody may be affected. Some county or some city and town may be affected with the loss of one or more of those licenses. This would prevent that and give it a hold harmless situation. Subsection B under Section 3 says no distribution of funding. What that means is that any calculations that we have so far with respect to funding based on a certain census model, that should statute be corrected or amended as per the wishes of the Select Committee on Local Government Finance, that no community, town, city, and or county would be affected in an adverse way. That essentially is a hold harmless discussion with respect to funding. So, Mr. Chairman, I stand for questions on Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 39, unless otherwise spoken.
We are on Standing Committee Number 1 to House Bill 39. Question having been called, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 has passed the Committee of the Whole. We're back on the bill. Representative Cody.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That is about as good an explanation I can give of the subject, and I'm certain there might be a question or two.
Representative Lubnow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Right now, as it exists in statute, there's a process for adjustment of the census if you have items of periods of growth. My understanding of this bill is that this takes that out. For communities like mine who've already experienced large growth, I guess the law of large numbers applies, and they'll still receive a large percentage of the income under the distribution formula. But I'm concerned for our smaller communities if they have growth. And it seems to me that without a process where they can adjust their population under the funding formula, that they would be unfairly impacted by this legislation. And there's no check and balance in the funding formula for that. And so I would be interested to hear if there's been any analysis of the impact on smaller communities that it would experience growth in that 10-year period.
Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I didn't mean to interrupt that question. If you'd like to answer that one first.
Go ahead. We'll answer them later, Mr. Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My question is similar to this one. In one of the communities that I represent, having a population of 32,000 people, the latest census was 18,000 people, so they are getting their funding on 18,000 people. And now I'm hearing something about an adjustment, a census that could catch them up and allow them to be funded on their current population. But I've kind of heard from the mayor that is not possible. Could the bringer of this bill help me understand if that is possible? And could that city have an adjusted census that would help their funding out?
Chairman Cohey.
To my good and learned friend from House District 31, thank you, Mr. Chairman, that the adjustment of the census applies if a community has the big bucks with which to perform a census. We heard in one case where a community in southwest Wyoming, very small community, for purposes of incorporation and being included in this process, that census determination cost them $18,000. So if you look at that, any community that might have some sense of growth, and we were to factor that in as a ratio, basically implies that might be, you know, for purposes of receiving more money with the mineral severance flow that Wyoming has recently been enjoying, that might apply if it's assumed that no other community in the state grew. So in all fairness, if one community can perform a census and brings that forth as a testimony that particular community has grown, then would it not be fair for every other community to take a census as well? So that hopefully provides an answer. And to my good friend from House District 18, the explosive growth that one community indicates that it may have, who knows how that particular population figure was derived? Was it just a calculation of accounting of water meters or cars on the streets or what? But there is something in the U.S. federal census requirements that does allow in communities that have very expansive growth in a very short period of time for some population reconsideration, and yes, that would apply.
Anyone else? Are you ready for the question? Question having been called, all those in favor of Representative Illaway's motion, when the Committee of the Whole rise to report it, do so with the recommendation that Bill Number 39 do pass. Please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no?
No.
House Bill 39 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 157. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 157, introduced by Representative Stewart, an act relating to child fatality reviews. This bill was referred to Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, which recommended that it do pass with amendments. Ayes, Bonner, Escobel, Goggles, Hallinan, Landon, Millen. No, Davison, Harvey, Shepperson. Signed, Representative Harvey, Vice Chair.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Landon?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rise and report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill 157 do pass. Further, I move Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 157, and I will explain the bill and then, explain the amendment and then turn the bill over to the good representative from the Upper North Platte Valley. The amendment primarily does three things. On lines 13 through 17, it amends the definition of major injury, that they will be extensive injury or major or extensive fractures of any bone. The second amendment has to do with amendments on pages 9, and that took out language that seemed to be more a committee responsibility rather than something that needed to be written in statute. That had to do with subsequent meetings that this committee would have and some of the responsibilities that would go on those no subsequent meetings. That can be done by the people on the committee. And the last amendment dealt with pages 16 and 17 and 18 and 19, and we deleted all the language that had to do with local child fatality review teams. Just wanted at this time to start with state review teams. That is the amendment. I will stand for any questions on the amendment. If there are none, I'd call for the question.
You've heard the motion on the Standing Committee Amendment. Are you ready for the question? Question having been called, all those say aye. All opposed, no. Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 has been adopted. We're back on the bill.
Mr. Chairman, I will yield the floor to the good representative from the North Platte River Valley.
Representative Stewart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm very happy to bring you this very well-written bill, ladies and gentlemen. And just to kind of set the stage briefly, to prepare you for this discussion, I would like to recognize that we do have an emotional issue to talk about, and that this is not really what we would call a simple bill, but a very important bill. A little history. I remind everyone that since 1997, we have been reviewing child deaths in our state and by a group called the Wyoming Citizen Review Panel. Since 1999, this team has also been reviewing major injuries. And at this point, I forgot to mention that I did have a handout go out to all your desks that I think perhaps would help track through this. Now, I just can't tell you how impressed I am by these professionals that we have that are doing this work today in a very extremely sensitive area. And of course, I understand that a lot of you don't quite understand what they do, and I'm going to try and explain that to you as briefly as I can. And I'm going to read partly from the handout that I've given you. Through this collaborative process, review process, the team uses its findings to make recommendations for change through prevention, intervention, training, education, legislation, and public policy in child abuse and neglect cases. What they are doing is seeing if, in fact, through the gathering of data, and I think I've told you how important data is to me, that we can make determinations of trends in these very unfortunate events. And what we're looking at is preventable events, ladies and gentlemen. The single-mindedness purpose of this group is with the intention of trying to perhaps save one more life. Now, I'm going to get to some examples of this in a few minutes. This process that we have had set up for several years now has been limited and is limited today in its ability to extend this service to all the children of our state. Just by the simple fact that this agency is housed within the agency of the DFS, Department of Family Services. What has happened with that? We are only able to look at cases that are substantiated cases that exist within our DFS system. What we're trying to do here, the purpose and need of this legislation, we're trying to set this up so all the children of our state can benefit with equal protection under the law and move this group, this team, into the AG's office so we can get a better view, a better picture of this landscape. Again, as I said, with the sole intent and purpose that at the end of the day we'll be able to save another life. Reviewing child major injuries and fatalities that are related only to child abuse and neglect provides a very limited data set and excludes a large segment of at-risk Wyoming youth. Allowing the review process to include a broader scope of cases encompassing public safety will provide greater insight of what prevention efforts should be pursued in Wyoming to make children safer. And I couldn't say that better. Some examples, and these examples I'm going to use are some things that I think all of us can understand and relate to. A few years ago, we had a very unfortunate event in our state where we had a child that died from a well that was not grounded. Now, The good news about this is that because of that, we were able to implement some legislation that by having our well drillers certified now, we're able to hopefully prevent another unfortunate accident like that. These are the types of cases, events, that this group are going to look at and see if they can perhaps recommend and help us as policy decision makers to get some legislation that will prevent future unfortunate accidents. Another example that is close to home for me, some of us, you know, I won't mention any names, some of us drive some green tractors during our lives, and we've seen the evolution of safety devices in some of these, some of this equipment. What happened several years ago, just because of the way a door latch was positioned on these tractors, we found that kids that were riding in these tractors would fall up against the door latch, the door would open, and that child would fall out. Because of national groups that review these types of events, we have implemented changes in policy and equipment that, you know, we just flat live in a better world because of people like this. The bill in front of you outlines in statute clearly what is happening today, and what we're doing is building upon this good work to do, as I said, to bring in all the children to where we can look at all these unfortunate events, and we're not setting up anything in statute or in this bill that this group does not already do today. We're setting up some definitions, which is very important, and I don't know as needs much explanation. An important part of this bill, I can assure you, once we get this group out on its own, is that we're going to codify confidentiality. As you can imagine, as I tried to set the stage, this is an emotional issue, talking about our children like this, and confidentiality, I can tell you, is of paramount importance, and we do need to set up a shelter, if you will, an umbrella, a protection in statute, confidentiality, to protect these people. With that, Mr. Chairman, I would ask for questions.
Representative Lubnow.
Mr. Chairman, my understanding of the bill is that you set up a state and a local team, and if a child dies tragically in a car accident, that state and local team have access to all of the child's health records, governmental records of any type, law enforcement data, coroner information, probation and parole records, social services records, and that's disclosed to a team at the state level of, I don't know, some 20 people, and a team at the local level of some 10 or 15 people to discuss and talk about that child's death. Is that my understanding of the bill?
Representative Mercer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A few of you are familiar with my history on this subject. Some of you are not. But I have concerns about opening a great big door that we're never going to get closed again. The state should not involve itself unless there is a good cause to do so, and that is why we have law enforcement, and that is why we have DFS, and that's why we have things put together to look at those substantiated cases. When you have a simple accident that you really can't do anything about, you do not need the intrusion and the additional investigation into your life, your history, and everything else that this kind of a team would bring. These are very personal events, and they are very tragic and painful events. And anybody who wants to ask me about my event can certainly do so, and I will tell you about it. We already have these kinds of protections and these kinds of reviews in place for the things that it should be in place for. We do not need to add a 21 to 27 member group to run around and take a look at this stuff. If you look at all the people that we're including in this review team, it's a ton of folks. We do not need it. We are already doing it where it applies and where it's necessary, and I hope you will vote no.
Representative Conley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question for the bringer of the bill, and especially following up on the good representative from District 53's comments. I'm curious if any other jurisdictions, if any other states have implemented such a far-reaching, broad-based panel of review, and if so, if the information that they're getting from that kind of review has, in fact, done what the bringer of the bill has hoped for, that we get more and better information so that we can prevent the kind of tragedies that you're talking about.
Madam Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, I do have one question, and perhaps two, I guess. The first question is I'd like to know what the cost of this is going to be. And I guess my second observation is, in looking at this bill, I would encourage the body to look very, very closely at this bill. It is a major, major piece of legislation. And as I looked on page 2 at the definition of preventable death, means a death which reasonable medical, social, legal, psychological, or educational intervention may have prevented. Now, I ask you, in my own mind, I'd like to ask the sponsor of this bill to give me one example of a death that would not fall under one of these categories, because I just see this as extremely, extremely intrusive into people's personal lives. So I am on and against the bill.
Representative Stewart.
Mr. Chairman, I'll start at the top of my list. And the car accident, I think, Mr. Chairman, is a good example to start with. And yes, we want our team to look at as many factors contributing to these unfortunate events to determine, you know, I think number one, was this a preventable accident? And I think that's the first thing in the matrix that they're going to try and look at. And one of the things that's come up in our discussions and in my learning process with this is the example of car seats. And what we see is that on occasion we have our children either not being in a car seat or being in a car seat that doesn't fit. And what we see happening is that this team would look at that, and what they have done in the past and will do in the future is to recommend our, and I'm sure all of you have seen this in your local communities, our local law enforcement, our dispatchers will put on classes, seminars, to educate our parents, maybe even through our school system, on proper sizing of car seats and the importance thereof. So these are the kinds of things that they end up doing through this process, looking at the events leading up to these very unfortunate accidents. There was a statement made that about we already have this, and I think I have said that, yes, we have a very professional team that is doing this work today, and I'll say again that they really feel like they're missing out on the whole picture. And in order for them, I mean, these people are driven, and I just want to try and impart some of their passion, their intention to save lives for our children. And they want to be able to capture some other events that are occurring that perhaps they can save another life. Yes, we have this legislation implemented and working in other states, and a lot of what we see here today in this bill does bring what is working from other states. The cost, and thank you for bringing that up. Initially, we had a fiscal note attached to this, and through this nice collaborative process, working with the AG's office, they were not aware at the time they wrote the fiscal note that there would be monies, federal dollars, that would come from DFS to implement this program through their office. So I have a letter here today that I had on my desk this morning that basically zeroes out that fiscal note. So we have no financial implications.
Chairman Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was just hoping to answer a couple of the questions as well. The question as to how much investigating was going to go on in what is a very personal and emotional issue, we were concerned about that in committee as well. And on page 9, we wanted to make sure that language on line 16 was clear, and that is that this group is going to be reviewing the circumstances of the death or major injury by sharing information contained in the records of agencies. So we don't expect further investigation or questioning of individuals who have been affected by these traumatic events, but a reviewing of records that are already there. And the cost question is, presently there is a federal grant for $20,000 that is continuing. The Department of Family Services is willing to match that with another $20,000. And there is currently a citizens review panel that has pledged their support to the DFS for review purposes as well. So there's I guess I should say that there's kind of a foundation network out there now, and this is building on it. And you can see on page 8, the main thing we're trying to do here is decrease the incidence of these preventable injuries and fatalities by understanding their cause and in recommending changes that could prevent this. And I think that this had appeal to the committee because unless you have a review of these sorts of incidents, it's hard to get a handle on them. And if through this review it was seen that there were certain commonalities of accidents, then we could do something about it. So that was the object, is to find out what was going on out there. And then if there were some common things that could be done, is taking that those active actions that could prevent those things from happening to children in the future.
Mr. Majority Leader. Representative Swanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just some questions for the good bringer of the bill regarding all these people. From what I understand, on pages 4 through 6, we're going to have at least 21 people on the state board, and then they can put up to 6 more people, so we may have 27. My first question is on page 4. We're mandating that the Director of Family Services, the Director of Health, the Director of Public Instruction, DCI, are mandatory members of this team. I guess my question is, usually in statute we put them or their designees. In this case, we're not. And do you have buy-in from all 4 of these people? They want to sit on this commission and be burdened with another responsibility. And then also on this 21-person board, we have a representative from local law enforcement, from counties, from prosecuting attorneys associations, from county public health. And then if we go all the way to page 16, we're going to allow up to 15 judicial districts to have at least 10 people, but some of those are the same type of people from the city and town, from the county government, from the local field office. On line 5, it says a representative from each city and town in that district. That could be a heck of a lot of people. I mean, all of a sudden, we're talking about 200 people in this bill that we're going to be having going all over the place, and that the good chairman of Judiciary has answered my first question, so you don't need to, the good bringer of the bill, that it does say may appoint a designee. But I do have some concerns on the 15 judicial districts, so they can each have at least 10 people, although it does say representatives from other relevant professions. So you could have 20 or 30 people at the judicial district level, plus the 20 at the state level, and it just seems like a lot to me. And so if you assuage my concern.
Representative Kraft.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm speaking on and for this bill. I think we need to understand what this bill is about and what it is not about. We're concerned about intrusion into our private lives, into the lives of people who have possibly been subjected to a very traumatic death of a child. We're talking about that versus protection of our children. And I would like you to understand that this investigation or this review is not a reinvestigation. It doesn't mean, I think we have an idea that this board is going to go out and talk to all these people again and reinvestigate. That is not what they're going to do, according to my understanding. It basically means they are going to gather additional data, and data that already exists in public records. They are not going to get down into the depths of that information that is protected by confidentiality. I also would remind you that this team are going to be a team of professionals. They're not going to be a team of busybodies. They're not going to be a team of people wanting to pry into people's public lives, which I'm absolutely opposed to as well. But I am absolutely in favor of protecting our children. And I can tell you, as a mental health professional, substantiated incidents are not the only ones. We already investigate substantiated incidents of child abuse, child neglect. There are any number of reasons why cases go unsubstantiated. And we all sit there and we know very well there's something going on and we can't identify it until a child dies. And I could spend the morning giving you examples of deaths of children. So what I'm looking at is I'm looking at an expansion of existing law and existing duties. We created this in 1997 for abuse and neglect. We expanded it in 1999 to include major injuries. We're expanding it further to look at unsubstantiated deaths and to look at gathering additional data to improve the health, the welfare, and the safety of our children. Thank you.
Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, there was a reference earlier to page 9. Line 16, and at the bottom of the lines 21 and 22 there, it talked about how this was the part that talked about how they'll use the records to review this, but then it says the responsibilities for members of the team and dates for subsequent meetings regarding the child or family shall be established at that meeting, at the meeting, I should say. It looks like they're going to continue to dwell and dig into some of this, and that doesn't say from the records. And I'm a little concerned about that, but it's, maybe I'm just not understanding the full thrust of the bill.
Representative Stewart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Answer that last question first. That part of the sentence was part of the Standing Committee amendment. We did delete part of that sentence that refers to discussing this at the state team's next meeting. And this is a great, great discussion. We did talk about the number of people on this team in committee and even quite a bit before we brought this bill in. What we're looking at here today is, in order for us to get these federal dollars, there are some federal requirements about who has to be on this team. And I wish we could have it with fewer people, but this is the minimum. And if we're going to unlock these federal dollars, these are the people that we have to have on the team. And then in answer to the other question about the local group, of course, that was deleted in our standing committee amendment, which referred to the groups within those districts. Thank you.
Madam Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I guess my question is, what right does the government have to look into any unsubstantiated death? The whole purpose of this bill, if you'll go, the whole bill is troubling. Just go to page 10, Roman numeral number 6, and it talks about examining confidentiality and access to information, statutes, regulations, policies, and procedures for agencies with responsibilities for children, including but not limited to. Now this is the latitude that the state team has. So then it's supposed to go in and look at those, and then it's supposed to determine if impeding the exchange of that information that they want, if it impedes the exchange of information necessary to protect children from preventable fatalities and major injuries. And if they deem that they're not getting the information they need, then they're supposed to come and request changes to regulation and state statutes so that they can have access to this information. I mean, I don't even know what to say about this bill other than I've just never seen such a heavy hand of government into the lives of families and children, and I just urge this body to defeat this bill.
Chairman Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the close look that it is getting from the good representative from Fremont County. At the language at the bottom of page 9, whenever I do the standing committee amendments again, I should ask everybody to get their pencil out because that language is all deleted. And to the good representative from Laramie County, who also had concerns on pages 16, 17, 18, and 19, is all that language is deleted also because we had concerns there. I guess the basic philosophy here was if we don't do anything, we get what we get the same that we have, and it just seemed that we didn't feel like there weren't safeguards in here that would prevent a review panel from going overboard. And yet we thought that they could provide us with some valuable information that we could make future decisions on and perhaps make an environment safer for the children of the state of Wyoming. And that was our objective. And if you see anything in here that doesn't do that, is I would urge you to bring an amendment on that because I really think that this has a possibility of doing a lot of good.
Representative Stewart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It appears the mics are clear, so I might just summarize, or not quite. I'll step back.
Representative Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The last speaker referred to if we don't do anything, we get what we've got. We heard testimony in committee that they're already doing, this review team already exists. They're already reviewing cases. It's already happening. I was a no vote on this bill in committee, and I'll be a no vote on the floor as well. They're already doing it. Why do we need to put in statute unless it's to give them more authority to go deeper into records? Which I am against. I think that if we don't do anything, we're still going to have review teams.
Representative Stewart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just 2 points I wanted to highlight on before we close this great discussion. And I just can't tell you how strongly I feel that we're not using words like intrusive when we're talking about this subject. This is, I feel, couldn't be further from the truth. These are trained professionals looking at data, trying to establish trends, and I see no intrusion into people's personal lives with this. And to highlight one other point that we have tried to address up front in the handout in all of our discussions, you know, this group does not investigate anything. They do not reinvestigate anything. They are looking at data to establish trends in the hopes that perhaps we could save another life in a unfortunate, preventable event. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I'll...
Are you ready for the question? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Landon's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rise to report it, do so with the recommendation that Bill number 157 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
House Bill 157 has failed to pass Committee of the Whole. Has failed a voice vote. Having failed, pursuant to House Rule 10-5B, the bill having failed a voice vote, a standing division vote is required. All those in favor, please stand. Those opposed, please stand. Having failed the standing division vote, a roll call vote is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson, Bagby, Barbuto, Berger, Berger, Blake, Bonner, Brechtel, Brown, Buchanan, Bird, Kennedy, Carson, Childers, Cohey, Connolly, Kraft, Davison, Davison, Dirks,
aye.
Edmonds,
no.
Esquibel,
aye.
Gilmore,
aye.
Gingery,
no.
Goggles,
aye.
Hales,
aye.
Hallinan,
aye.
Hammonds,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
no.
Illaway,
no.
Yagi,
no.
Jorgensen,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Lockhart,
no.
Lubno,
no.
Madden,
no.
McKim,
no.
McComey,
no.
Mercer, Meyer,
no.
Miller,
no.
Millen,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Patton,
no.
Peasley,
no.
Pedersen,
no.
Peterson,
no.
Philp,
no.
Korberg,
no.
Roscoe,
aye.
Semlick,
no.
Shepperson,
no.
Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
no.
Teeters,
no.
Thompson,
no.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
no.
Swanitzer Dan, Swanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 25 ayes, 35 noes.
Pursuant to House Rule 10-5B, House Bill 157, having failed the roll call vote, is indefinitely postponed. Members of the body, if you'll give me a little privilege, I'm really sorry for not following along a second ago. I'm usually distracted whenever there's a pretty girl in the room, and up in the West Gallery is my best friend, my wife, Sarah Pedersen. Sorry, sweetheart. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 134. The reading clerk will read the bill. Oh, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 95 will be moved down below House Bill 274.
And now the next bill for our consideration will be House Bill 134. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 134, introduced by the Select Natural Resources Committee, an act relating to Wyoming wildlife and natural resource funding. This bill was referred to Committee Number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, which recommended that it do pass. Ayes, Bonner, Brown, Childers, Connolly, Davison, Yagi, Millen, Shepperson, Thompson. Signed, Representative Childers, Chairman.
You've heard the pleasure. You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Childers?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a recommendation that Bill Number 134 do pass, and I will explain the bill. And ladies and gentlemen, if you'll refer to the first page of the bill, and then also you should have been passed a handout last week, which is a PowerPoint presentation of the large project funding, if you want to look at them. And in particular, lines 1 through 7 I'd like to read, and that's an act relating to the Wildlife and Natural Resource Funding Act, providing for funding of large projects under that act, specifying large projects approved for funding in 2009, amending funding for specified previously approved large projects, providing appropriations and providing for reversion of funds and providing for an effective date. Ladies and gentlemen, when that act was passed, specifically large projects, we set up that they would be reviewed by a select committee on wildlife and natural resource. There's a committee of six, three from the other end, three from this end, to review those projects, large projects, $200,000 or more, and then it would come to the appropriate committee that covers that, which would be the Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, and then come to the body. We wanted to do that to make sure that there is legislative review of large projects. However, the funding of those projects, you need to understand that that does come from the income count of the trust fund. In other words, interest off that trust fund, which is on the order of $88 million, comes to the trust fund board, and then also because it has not reached its maximum amount in the trust fund, there has been appropriations every budget period to cover any proposed expenditures under the income account. And that is going through the budget process. And then the trust fund, should this body and the body on the other end and the governor agree, monies go to the trust fund. And this bill basically details all of those large projects. And in particular, if you'd go to the first one on page 2 of your handout and also on page 2 of the bill, 9-15-401, Hovendick easement. For the PowerPoint presentation, it shows that the sponsor is the Wyoming Stock Growers Agriculture Land Trust. Shows the total cost of the project of approximately $1.6 million, the original request of $350,000, and the allocation of $270,000, and that appropriation on page 3 of the bill is what's being proposed to be appropriated from the income account to the project. And in particular, if you'd look at the bottom where it says leverage, that means that how much money is given to these projects versus what we pay from the income account. And that's the same throughout the bill. And on this particular easement, it mentions on the third page of the PowerPoint, and then also on page two of the bill, it talks about preclude loss of habitat for moose, mule deer, antelope, waterfowl, amphibians, fisheries, songbirds, and other species. Maintain essential migration routes for mule deer. Maintain agriculture production. And all of these projects cover the details of what is done, which goes directly to what the Wildlife and Natural Resource Trust Fund Board does. Now, I'd be more than happy to go through each one of the projects, but you were handed a good summary of each one of these. The total expenditure from the income account is proposed to be $5.3 million. And then interest from the trust is $4 million. Proposed legislative allocation is $5 million, bringing funding for projects up to $11 million. And allocation with this bill would be the $5.3 million. And as I mentioned earlier, I told you how much was in the actual trust fund. And if you want me to go through details of this, each one of these projects, you can rest assured that both the select committee and the standing committee reviewed those in detail. And if there are no questions, I'd call for the question. But apparently there's a question.
Chairman Semlick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We're getting into purchasing easements, which I guess is fine. That seems to be the new best great thing we can do with this fund, and that's okay. I'm somewhat interested, though, in the terminology and just an explanation of maybe what the difference between a permanent use restriction would be as opposed to a conservation easement. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Chairman Childers.
Well, Mr. Chairman, in particular, which part of the bill were you talking about? Maybe I missed it. Oh, I'm sorry. On page 2, line 10, project purpose, permanent use restriction on approximately 700 acres in Fremont County. This is private land, and it's through the Wyoming Stock Growers Agriculture Land Trust. And basically, it's set up to, basically to maintain agriculture production. And as I said, these various loss of habitat, stop that, essential migration routes. Easements, it's not exactly an easement in some way, but it is. But the purpose of it is just to maintain that type of use of the land, and I would mention on private land, that is private minerals. However, if it is public minerals, in other words, it's set up from homesteads or purchase of land that from the federal government, and the federal government maintains ownership of the mineral estate. These easements specifically exclude impacting the mineral estate. The Wildlife and Natural Resource Trust Fund Board has been very clear on doing that, and the intent of the original act also covered that. Are there any other questions?
Are you ready for the question?
Question being called, please.
Question being called, all those in favor of Chairman Childers' motion and the Committee of the Whole rise to report it, do so with a recommendation that Bill number 134 do pass. Please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Bill 134 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 180. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 180, introduced by Representative Miller, an act regarding public transit funding. This bill was referred to Committee Number 2 Appropriations, which recommended that it do pass. Ayes, Berger, Hammonds, Harshman, Jorgensen, Pedersen, Philp, Stewart. Signed, Representative Berger, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Cohey?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a recommendation that House Bill 180 do pass. There are no standing committee amendments from Committee Number 8, but I do believe there is one from Committee Number 2.
Representative Philp.
Mr. Chairman, I move Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 180. And what this did was just gave the bill a small haircut, maybe a large haircut. It just reduced the appropriation from $3,500,000 down to $1,500,000. And with that, I would stand for any questions on the Standing Committee Amendment.
Question.
Question having been called, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 has been adopted. We're back on the bill. Chairman Cohey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And for a full and complete explanation of the bill, I refer to the gentleman from House District 55.
Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't know if the explanation will be full and complete, but be happy to answer any questions. But what this bill does, it appropriates an additional $1.5 million now with the Standing Committee Amendment out of Appropriations Committee. We had asked for 3.5, but they had a good discussion and took it down to 1.5 after that discussion. What this group is the Public Transit Account Group in Wyoming. This is administered through the Wyoming Transportation Department. It has a lot of rules and regulations, has a lot of local matching requirements. This applies, the funding that is appropriated out of this group goes to all 23 counties through to 55 different transit groups, of which 30 of those are our senior citizen centers scattered around the state. So there's a little bit in this for everyone. What we've done here is appropriate another $1.5 million, one-time monies, to help them meet some of their ongoing costs, to help them replace some of their used equipment. They currently receive state funding $1.5 million per year. This has not changed for 10 years. And so we're trying to make up some of the shortages, the increased costs, the inflation that apply here. And with the economy slowing down, it's going to be important to be able to keep our public transit groups going in these counties scattered around the state. They apply pretty much to every one of the larger cities, Cheyenne, Casper, Riverton, Sheridan, Cody, Jackson. And they require a local match. The riders of these services pay fees generally, ranging from $1, I think sometimes up to $5 or $6, depending on the length of the ride. So it goes all over the place. It helps maintain the 287 vehicles in the fleet. 114 of those vehicles are buses that cost in excess of $200,000 each. They need maintenance. They need to be replaced once the maintenance costs get exorbitant. The smaller vehicles, 69% of the smaller vehicles are 5 years or older. So, again, this goes everywhere in the state. I'll be happy to answer any questions if there are any. If there's none.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to ask the good representative from Fremont County. I was a little surprised at the large number of large buses. At least what I see in that area are the smaller ones that are more directed to specific needs. I don't see the big ones. Would you refresh my memory on what you just said about the number of big ones and their cost?
Well, in the I do have some talk, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Miller.
Mr. Chairman, I did hand out some talking points. The talking points reference this in here. About the fifth paragraph down, it talks about the 114 buses that are the larger buses that can cost in excess of $200,000 each. I think some of those are used in the Jackson Hole area. Some of those I know in the Riverton area, the Fremont County Transit Authority there uses some, I believe they're 30 passenger buses that go from Riverton to Lander through the reservation. I think it even goes all the way up to Dubois. And I assume in Casper you may have some of these larger buses also. So these are 30 and 40 passenger buses that I assume are the ones that are the $200,000 and up buses.
Representative Goggles.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I would like to respond to that question as well. Many of these buses are carrying some of our most precious resources, and those are the little head starters. Those transit authorities will lease those buses to head starts that provide those transportations for those most precious of our resources, the little head starters.
Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just an additional follow-up. Many of these buses also have the handicapped lifts on them. To get up to $200,000 on a small bus with the handicap lift, I don't think it takes too much effort there.
Representative Carson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would just urge your support for this particular bill. I just wanted to reiterate a lot of our low-income, middle-income, and senior citizens take these buses all over their communities. You can see on our little handout that the gentleman passed out regarding that ridership was up last year 20%, which is a huge increase. And the haircut we've given this bill will really shave the amount of money I think that's going to be there for new vehicles. And as you see, the new vehicles we were going to buy were for more fuel-efficient, cleaner vehicles. So I would guess that the majority of this money would be used for operating older buses and maintaining them. So I would urge your support of this bill because that's a necessity, and realize that this is something that affects all of our communities in the state of Wyoming that have public transportation.
Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Cohey's motion, when the Committee of the Whole rise to report, to do so with a recommendation that House Bill 180 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Bill 180 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 6. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 6, introduced by the Travel Committee, an act relating to game and fish regarding game and fish trapping. This bill was referred to Committee Number 6, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources and Travel, and they indicated that they would like it to be passed. Aye, Bonner, Brown, Childers, Connolly, Davison, Yeagie, Millen, Shepperson, Thompson. Signed, Representative Childers, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Childers?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill Number 6 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment. And to explain both, I'm going to turn it over to the good representative from District 20.
Representative Davidson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to explain the bill first because if I just went into the amendment, it probably wouldn't make much sense. So this bill was one that was worked on for all summer last year, all last year, to with different entities coming together And it's an act relating to game and fish, providing for the regulation of methods, procedures, and specifications for trapping and snaring through rule and regulation, and providing for time periods for the checking of snares and traps. It allows the commission to authorize a variance from the mandatory check period on both traps and snares. It maintains the requirement to notify the department when a non-target species is inadvertently taken, and it gives the commission, following consultation with affected entities, the authority to set requirements for trap and snare breakaway, weight, breakaway placement, and snare loop placement, and snare anchor placement. It also requires a mandatory check on snares no less than once a week. Currently, there's no mandatory check period on snares. It maintains requirement in statute on minimum distance of snare placement from exposed bait or carcasses. And that's the bill. The amendment, after getting feedback from some of the entities, we needed to amend the bill with new language. On page 2, lines 5 through 8, we deleted that entirely and changed it so that the commission, following consultation with other affected entities, instead of other government entities, promulgate rules and regulations. And then we reinstated all the stricken language on page 2, lines 17 through 21, and on page 2, line 22, we reinstated stricken language there. Page 3, line 9, we took out the time the traps were set and put unless extensions are granted by the department. Page 3, line 12 and 13, we struck out all the existing language and then put in unless extensions are granted by the department. Page 3, line 14, we deleted all the new language. And page 3, line 24, we deleted all the new language. And if there's any questions, Chairman Childers will answer them.
You've heard the motion on the standing committee amendment. Are you ready for the question? Question having been called, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Standing committee amendment number 1 has passed. Has been adopted. We're back on the bill. Question having been called, all those in favor of Representative Childers' motion, the committee of the whole rise to report, to do so with the recommendation that bill number 6 do pass. Please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. House Bill 6 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 104. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 104, introduced by Representative Lubnow, an act relating to elections, special district elections, polling places requirements. This bill was referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, which recommended that it do pass. Ayes, Brown, Kraft, Lubnow, Miller, Stubson, Zwanitzer, Dan. No, Hales, Illaway. Excused, Dirk. Signed, Representative Illaway, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Illaway?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with recommendation that House Bill 104 do pass, and the good sponsor of the House bill will discuss it.
Representative Lubnow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I bring you the House Bill 104, Special Election Polling Place Requirements. It was brought to you all at the request of one of the special districts in my community. We have in our statutes provisions for mail ballots. They're contained in 2229.116, which requires that if a special district elects to go by mail ballots, no later than 45 days prior to the election, they request from the county clerk a list of all of the qualified electors. No later than 30 days, they certify the election official the list of qualified electors. Then no sooner than 20 days and no later than 15 days before the election, they mail to each landowner who has filed an authorization and each qualified elector a ballot in the mail. The ballot contains a statutory warning that says unless you're the person who's entitled to vote, you can't vote. Then no sooner than 25 days and no later than 4 p.m. on the election day, you can go to the county clerk's office and pick up a mail ballot and vote. And then you can request replacement ballots, and then you mail your ballots back, and if they get there before 5 o'clock on election day, then they count. Then in subsection B, we require that in addition to the mail ballots, that they provide a polling place that's open for not less than 5 consecutive hours between the hours of 9 a.m. and 7 p.m. We don't require people to tell where the election place is. We don't require telling what hours they're open. We just require that the special district have 3 polling judges who, 3 poll workers sit in at this place and wait for people to come in and vote at a place that we don't require anybody to know where it is. We've had a series of special elections in my community, and we've opened the polling place pursuant to the statutory requirement, and nobody comes, and nobody votes. And so while we've given people an opportunity to vote, we've given them every means to vote, we've sent the ballots to their house, and we still have to require this polling place. The special district has said that this is an unnecessary expense, very, very expensive for them, and is actually an exercise in futility, so nobody comes. So what this bill does is it makes provision of the polling place optional. With that, I'd stand for any questions.
Question been called. All those in favor?
Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry.
Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. I'd just like a little more clarification on this only applies to the mail ballot procedure. And if it's not mail ballot, then it's a mandatory open polling place. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, that is correct.
They let
mail. Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, that is correct. It only applies to the mail ballots. Otherwise, it's a mandatory open election procedure paid for by the special district. The special district can petition the county commissioners for assistance in funding the election, but this is just the mail-in procedure under the statute. During our discussions in committee, there were lots of issues with respect to the special election process that probably deserve examination by this body, but this bill wasn't the proper vehicle to address issues that may take an interim.
Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a real quick question. And you may have said this and I just missed it. I was just curious what our chief election officers, in particularly the county clerks, thought of this bill. Was this something that they thought would help them or not help them?
Representative Lubnow.
Mr. Chairman, the only county clerk with I spoke with was mine, who was very, very happy I was bringing this bill.
Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Illoway's motion that when the committee of the whole rise to report to do so with the recommendation that bill number 104 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House bill 104 has passed committee of the whole. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that committee of the whole beg leave to rise and sit again at 2 p.m.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Now, committee announcements. Chairman Illoway.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, will meet right now in House 18, and we'll discuss House Bill 188, Insurance Coverage of PKU, which is continued from last week, House Bill 250, Classification of Fire Chiefs after End of Term, House Bill 181, Fair Employment Practices, House Bill 232, Fair Employment Revisions, and if there's time, House Bill 279, Statements of Consideration Review.
Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 2, Appropriations, will continue discussing House Bill 96, Railroad Quiet Zones, House Bill 162, State Employees Retirement Military Credit, House Bill 229, Court Security Reimbursement, House Bill 213, Range Land Monitoring, and House Bill 194, and we'll meet 10 minutes upon noon adjournment.
Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Committee number one, Judiciary, will continue to discuss House Joint Resolution 7, U.S. Constitutional Convention repeal, and we will begin discussion of House Joint Resolution 6, Non-Economic Damages Constitutional Amendment 2, beginning at 12:15. So, committee, you have a little bit of time to go find some food, hunt, gather, whatever you need to do.
Chairman Landon.
Mr. Chairman, Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, will meet this afternoon upon adjournment to continue our work on House Bill 266, Cardiovascular Disease and Diabetes Initiative, 253, Healthcare Commission, and 178, Tanning Salons Minors.
Representative Lubnow.
Mr. Chairman, Committee Number 4, Education, will meet Monday, February 2nd, 2009, upon adjournment in Room H10 to discuss the following bills. House Bill 218, Hathaway Success Curriculum. House Bill 219, BOCES, Expanded Cooperational Educational Services. House Bill 227, Education Enhanced Teacher Performance Program. House Bill 269, School At-Risk Funding. And House Bill 258, Charter Schools Funding.
Committee of the Whole is in recess till 2 p.m.